In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The words of today's lesson from John 6 are part of Jesus' response to the murmuring Jews, a response which began already at verse 41. For St. John says, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Jesus says much about himself being one with his Father in heaven. He even cites the prophetic Isaiah 54 passage, "All your children shall be taught by God." He, their teacher, born of Mary, is true God, and it is of him that Isaiah spoke. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul alludes to the same scripture. It is of Christ that he speaks when he says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God," that is by Christ, "to love one another." You see, always the parallel, the equal sign between Christ and God. "Whoever believes has eternal life," Jesus says. "Believes what?" you ask. The culture that surrounds you would single out Jesus' words, stop right there, and say, "Whatever you believe, it doesn't make any difference. Just believe what's right for you, and you will have eternal life, if indeed there is such a thing." Of course, man's wisdom will spin the words "eternal life" also to eliminate the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and the resurrection to everlasting life. But we will return later to the question, "Believes what?" Jesus follows immediately with the words, "I am the bread of life." By the time St. John wrote his gospel many years after Jesus' ministry, the church had long been established and had spread afar. St. Paul's missionary journeys were history. Preaching, baptizing, and administering the Holy Supper as divinely appointed means of grace, the church had been established. And throughout Palestine, Asia Minor, Greece, Rome, and perhaps even Spain, John's words, quoting Jesus about the bread of life, must certainly have evoked thoughts of the Holy Supper in the minds of his readers and hearers. However, Jesus is speaking more broadly here when he uses the expression. He takes his hearers back to the miracle of manna, where God fed his people in the Sinai wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says. "You eat this bread by believing in me, and in doing so, you will never die." Those who ate the miraculous bread in the wilderness, even though it was from God himself, were still eating a bread that fed and nourished only the body. Everyone who ate it eventually died. But whoever eats of this bread, Jesus says, speaking of himself, will live forever. How does that happen? How does one eat this bread? Answer: by believing the promises of God in the gospel, that Christ Jesus laid down his life as a ransom to redeem you from sin, death, and hell. It has been called a divine economy, and truly it is. All the heavenly blessings of life and salvation are yours through faith, which comes by hearing the preaching of the gospel, and which in turn comes by the word of God. There is a lot of foolishness abroad on this subject. Brilliant people have, over the centuries, developed the most ingenious of theological schemes, all of which have amounted to a subtle and skillful gainsaying of the preaching of faith. Boiled down to their essence, many simply substitute a person's good works for the faith that simply believes and lays hold of the promises of God. For example, during the monophysite controversy of the late 7th century, the distinction was developed between the gnomic will, which has been tainted by the fall into sin, and the natural will, which is pure and free. Brilliant theologians showed how Christ had only a natural will according to his human nature. So far, so good. But then the conclusion was advanced that in human beings, quoting now, salvation and deification consist in bringing the gnomic will through redemption in Christ into conformity with the innate drive of our natural will toward God. Deification? Innate drive of our natural will toward God? How subtle. The brilliant theologian Maximus concluded that Christ, by his work, unites man with God. That is, he deifies man. What then about St. Paul's statement, "But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Pure and free from sin we are through faith in Christ Jesus, yet always bearing about in our bodies this flesh. Where is faith in this talk about deification? Where is the forgiveness of sins through the merits of Christ? Let us, dear friends, always content ourselves with our Lord's comforting words of promise. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Every article of faith, by definition, cannot be grasped by reason. The doctrine of faith itself is such an article. Human wisdom says that wishing for something won't make it happen, and that same wisdom also judges that believing something is useless and of no consequence. You have to do something, reason says. We respond with the words of Jesus that began today's lesson. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." It is faith, worked by God the Holy Spirit, that lays hold on the very merits of Christ for your salvation. To believe is to eat the bread of life, Christ himself. the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.